This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on Monday, January 17th, 2022. And we had another nail-biting session in the U.S. Equity market on Friday. We were pushing lower in technology stocks. Everything looked very weak, as you can see here on slide two. And but then we staged a comeback, another comeback. It's definitely, there are different flows in the market playing each other out right now. And if we talked about it on Friday in our equity update, you know, the institutionals and the retail investors are clearly right now having divergent views on how to play these markets. And I think a lot of that is reflected in the range trading we're seeing. I think a lot of retail investors are still oriented towards growth stocks and speculative stocks. They're trying to buy the dip. And I don't think they predominantly are doing a lot of diversification into inflation protected assets. Whereas that's definitely the mission driving a lot of institutional flows at the moment. We have U.S. equity markets closed today, so there will not be a lot of action. We have the very strong session in U.S. long-term yields on Friday, so the 1.8% breakout, potential breakout in and close above that 1.8% in the U.S. 10-year yield is really key to watch this week, because that is the key signal, the price signal that could really, you know, accelerate further rotation inside portfolios and put downward pressure on equities. And talking about rates, before we go to Yule and talking about U.S. rates, we have to talk about Chinese rates, because we had some news developing in China overnight. We had the People's Bank of China cutting its key interest rates for the first time since April 2020. They recently cut their prime lending rate, which is it's not the key interest rate set by the central bank, but it sort of was an initial signal from the Chinese central bank that, you know, they were gradually trying to smooth the turmoil that we're seeing in their real estate sector. Last week and the week before that has been, you know, 2 weeks of a lot of bad headlines coming out of these real estate developers, and things are really beginning to have an impact on their growth. There's definitely a risk to the growth outlook, and then obviously also China's zero case policy on COVID is having an impact on their manufacturing and industrial sector. So and we had the Hang Seng futures actually pushing lower today despite this rate cut. So it's going to be super interesting to see what comes out of China. My personal view is that I think China needs to move to a more fiscal loose stance to support the economy from here. I don't think interest rates will do much. But across the Pacific, Ole, in the US, you have brought in two, I think, great slides here on slide four in today's slide deck, where you can really see how the yield curve has flattening a lot. But it's not the only thing that is happening. Will it take us through what's going on in U.S. Interest rates?
Absolutely, Peter. Just before we do that, just returning back again to Asia, just to highlight as well, we had retail sales also coming out overnight in China, disappointing quite badly, coming in at 1.7 year-on-year, down from expectations for around 3.8. So it just really show how the zero tolerance to Omicron, the variant, is having an impact on consumer activity and consumer spending. So interesting one to watch, but it has also impacted some of the commodity markets. But let's take a look at the bond market first. As you said, here on slide four, you can just see how the curve has really flattened. The two-year yields has rallied quite strongly. Further out the curve, not so much. But well, I think what is also interesting is to note that the real yields has really been hurt quite a, or not hurt, has just been benefiting from this rally in nominal yields. And that's obviously betting back to the battle we're seeing right now in your part of the world, Peter, between growth and value. And you can see on the insert there that while nominal and real yields have been moving higher, break even, so the inflation expectations has almost stayed anchored around that 2.5%. The big question is obviously, as we go forward, whether the market will continue to maintain that view that on the Fed's ability to curb inflation, because if break even suddenly start to move higher, then that could be beneficial for, or could send real yields back down again. But just to showing the relationship between the different tenors on the yield curve. But I think just to stay with the yields, let's just take a quick look at gold as well. on slide seven. I think still what is interesting to see how gold has been you could say almost very resilient here at the start of 22, especially when you look at the right slide there. That is the we've used it on a numerous occasion, the relationship between gold prices and your real yields. And we all know the real yields now has spiked around for more than 30 basis points since the start of the year. Normally that should have quite a negative impact on gold. It hasn't. Gold is still hovering just below resistance here at 1830, and it just indicates that the market is worried about the not only that the hiking from the Fed could lead to lower growth, and basically they could that hiking into a slowing economy is clearly not long term beneficial, and gold potentially could benefit from that. So. Technically, before I hand it back to you, Peter, 1800 is a key area of support, and it's quite clear to see that the upside level that we need to break is 1830, 1835. So far, the market has not had momentum strong enough to challenge that area in earnest.
Yeah, all right. I mean, before we go back to you, we can just quickly circle through the earnings season, because you know, a lot of the things that are going on in the equity market is, of course, equities investors adjusting their valuations to the rising interest rates, which directly feeds into the discount rate of future cash flows. But then also, of course, the rising inflationary pressures are doing two things to companies. So one is it's lifting the revenue growth rate, which is nice, but rising input cost all the way from wages to energy to you know, raw materials, logistics costs are impacting businesses in different ways. So some companies will be able to sustain their operating margins, others will take a hit despite the nominal price level and revenue growth will accelerate in an inflationary environment. So they, you know, the equity market adjusting to that should have that force. But then also the Q4 earnings releases are interesting also because they are they mark the end basically of a fiscal year, so 2021, and that always also give rise to, you know, outlooks for the current year, and so we'll see what happens from those companies. And we have already had a lot of Q4 earnings releases, as you can see on slide 8, and a lot of them have surprised to the upside. So I've inverted the chart color from the Bloomberg, so the red numbers, it's probably a little bit difficult to see, but the red numbers are actually the positive one and the green ones are the negative, but you can also see that with a plus and minus sign there. But as you can see, we have mostly had positive surprises, although the reaction to those were a little bit mixed last week, I would say, especially the financials, but doing okay, not stellar performances, and the outlook could have been better, but I think they don't know exactly to what extent these potential rising interest rates, how they will look like, and we'll get another financials on Tuesday, which is Goldman Sachs. They're reporting tomorrow, and then Wednesday, ASML, Bank of America, and Procter & Gamble are the three important ones to watch. And then Thursday, Netflix, of course. And in Europe, I would argue that Sandvik from Sweden, an industrial company with exposure to the industrial sector and China, is an important. We'll give some important clues. And then on Friday, we have investor from Sweden as well, and then Schlumberger in the oil and gas services sector, which is important. So, and as we progress with the earnings season, I will of course update the earnings numbers, because the consensus is looking for earnings to be down quarter on quarter because of rising margin pressures, and that of course is a theme that we'll follow. But all that we have to get back to commodities. I'm not sure you finished your spiel on commodities.
No, not by a long mile. A lot of stuff going on in that space, and I think especially one that continues to surprise is the crude oil sector. We're trading up again today. This, despite that the world's second largest economy is slowing, retail sales down low, as I mentioned, mobility down due to the zero tolerance policies towards COVID. But nevertheless, crude oil is still soldiering higher. We are getting very close to to the highest level in 7 years. If you look at slide five, we were close to, or actually just almost kissed again that the double top at 86.75 overnight before just retracing a little bit on those weaker numbers from China. But we're also seeing speculators here at the start of the year so finally starting to gear up again. Last week, bullish bets up until last Tuesday jumped the most in 14 months. You can argue that that's a little bit late to the game, considering that we've been rallying nonstop since the middle of December. But nevertheless, they've been looking for that momentum to signal further upside, and that's what we're seeing right now. So market's tight. I've read from some of the physical traders that the physical prices at which oil is exchanging hands is even higher than where the futures is trading, indicating a very tight market right now. So this week we will be focusing on oil market reports from OPEC on tomorrow and IEA on Wednesday. Just basically looking for their latest take on the supply and demand outlook. And then there's a market, just want to round it up, which disappointed quite badly on Friday. Copper had this breakout last week, setting it up for potentially a long last a move away from that range-bound state it'd been in for at least 6 months. But as we went through Friday and the data from the US disappointed, we dropped back below, and that obviously did trigger some long liquidation from recently established long. So we're still back in the range, but I think we have to keep in mind as well that raw materials can rise, even at a time where supply may or demand may not be strong, because it's also a supply story, and supply, the funnel of supply coming into the copper market is relatively thin, and together with the green transformation, that's still some of our key reasons for maintaining a bullish outlook for industrial metals. Not least also considering the prospect for additional stimulus being provided by both the Chinese bank, central bank, and the government.
All right. I guess that takes us to the macro calendar.
Yeah, and that's very thin today, because obviously it's the US holiday, and so that means the cash markets, both in bonds are stock and stocks are closed. The futures markets are trading, but I believe with a shortened trading hour. So, but in terms of data, really not much in terms to focus on today. But if we look further ahead into the week, I'm sure that there will be plenty of stuff to move the market.
Yeah, I mean, if we should highlight some of the things, we have a CDW survey tomorrow in Germany. That's typically a good leading indicator. We have the Empire manufacturing data also tomorrow, in which is the temperature and the state of New York in their manufacturing sector. We have NAHB, the housing market survey in the US as well tomorrow. And then we have US housing starts and building permits, obviously a big part of their economy, will be out on Wednesday. And we have Australian unemployment data on Thursday. And we also have Norges Bank's deposit rate decision and the Turkey rate decision on Thursday. We have ECB minutes. We have the Philly Fed survey on Thursday as well. And then we have the minutes from Bank of Japan on Friday, and retail sales from the UK. And we got some pretty ugly retail sales last Friday from the US, sort of. I don't know how much noise there is in these data points, but it didn't look that good. I found it difficult to get, you know, good commentary on what really drove it. Was it really weakening demand, or was it, you know, weak demand because you couldn't buy anything because of the supply chain constraints? Because I think it's a bigger thing that we actually thought it would be already by this time of the year. I mean, it just seems like these things are continuing. I saw a news bit, Ole, just to round this the podcast off, that the shipping industry is actually expecting profits to be higher in 2022 than in 2021. It just suggests that, you know, the industry expects this these congestions and constraints to just continue for the entire year. And it's definitely not good for those that are believing that inflation will come quickly down.
Exactly, and we just need to take a look at what's happening in terms of ships trying to dock at the ports in China. It's going up quite a bit right now, and that again due to some lockdowns impacting the availability of personnel, and that just continues to highlight the problem that we got plenty of containers around the world, but a lot of those that are empty, they are looking for a ship to take them back to China, where they then struggling to get them into the harbor to get reloaded. So it is a market where there's a lot of congestion still.
All right, I think that's a wrap for today's podcast, and Ola and I will be back. And in the meantime, stay safe and safe trading out there. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email marketcall@saxobank.com.